So yeah, Finland. How did that look?
Yeah.
First off, looked cold as hell. Like just cold as hell.
Finland, brothers in Finland. Yeah. That was wild, Taylor. That was wild.
That should have been your whole vlog theme, brothers in Finland.
Yeah, brothers in Finland, and there weren't many of us either.
No,
but listen. No. That was wild. Such a blessing, first of all. Taylor, I'm 51. I have never done any transatlantic flight, trip, or anything of that nature. Never been to Europe or anywhere else. I mean, like Nassau and a trip to Mexico. That's it. I'm a U.S. planet guy. So, first of all, amazing that our company brings us out there a couple of times a year for basically an all hands. And so, for those who are just joining, I work for Vodden.
Yeah, it was like we got Jason.
Yeah. Thanks, Jace. A Finnish-based company that I've been working as a DevRel for since mid-August. And so twice a year, we do a thing called Vodden Connected, where it's an all-hands. We have a globally, you know, spread-out team, so everybody flies in, or as many as can. And we work together, we collaborate together, have some fun, dinners, things like that. And so this was my first one. So all expense paid trip to Europe, no problem. It was just crazy. It was funny, you know, just last year, I was telling my wife, you know, one day I want to take a train ride. Just a couple of hours just off in the countryside, not to go anywhere, just to sightsee, just to take in the beauty of nature and all that goofy stuff. Well, it just so turns out the flight from, so I went from Atlanta to Amsterdam, then Amsterdam to Helsinki, Finland. Helsinki is the capital. Well, our office is in Turku, Finland, which is about a 2-hour drive away. And the most convenient way to get there for an out-of-towner is the train.
Yeah.
So that took care of that.
I love trains, man.
Hopped on the train. It was so easy.
Yeah.
Just put the app in there.
We didn't bring,
had a car. I think my car had like three people.
Biden, Trump. I don't know. Whoever's watching. Like, let's
up get the train game. Up the train game,
man. If I can go on a train ride to like, people are tuned in right now. Be like, what the hell are they talking about? But
I know. This is my friend. Y'all leave me alone. We can talk about that.
If I could take a train to like. Like, you know, we're going to Austin for South by. Dude, if I could take a train from Nashville to Austin, that'd be sick. That'd be sick. Yes. I could work.
That would be
way
so
more
nice.
Efficient.
Exactly. And we had good Wi-Fi on the train, so that was
cool.
They
always have good Wi-Fi on trains, which is great.
We passed through some towns, but it was mostly Finnish countryside. And let me tell you, the entire 2-hour trip, it felt like I was inside like a snow globe or like I was at a Christmas card. It was just one big Christmas scene. Constant snow. Beautiful trees. You'd see like a sparse little cabin with the little lights on.
Amazing.
Like, I'm in the North Pole. Santa's going to pop out at any second. Like, it was just beautiful. So the trip there was awesome. The people were very nice. The company was supportive. It was nice to meet people in person because, you know, one thing about remote, sometimes we lose that human contact and there's value there, right? And I'm not advocating for back to office or anything crazy, but there's value for in person. Let's be honest.
Sure.
And so, being in the room together, meeting everybody, and for instance, my DevRel team, we roll up to product in my company. And so being there with the other product folks, our head of product, doing some collaborations together in a small room, coming up with some slides and some ideas for the future, that was cool.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Of course, you know, the dinners and all that kind of stuff, that was cool too. So
yeah, that's
shout out
so
to
cool.
The trip to Europe, man. Who would have thought? Who
that's awesome. Thought? I love that. Well, for those who tuned in, welcome. Good morning.
Hey. Guidance counselor
to the conversation. Like Lawrence and I hopped on. So again, I hop on with every guest 15 minutes beforehand. I never have a set schedule. And I was like, Lawrence, what do you want to talk about? He goes, man, let's just do some Q&A. Let's just hang out. I was like, that sounds great. So we went went live. For those of you tuning in, you're like, what the heck was that all about? Lawrence went on an amazing trip to Finland with his company. So we were catching up on that. But for those who tuned in, good morning. Welcome to Guidance Counselor 2.0 on this Friday the 16th. Lawrence, you are basically like the last guest for the next 2 weeks. So next week,
real?
I'm off. I'm heading back home. My dad's getting hip surgery. So I'm heading back home. It's a 2-hour surgery, which is really quick. It's crazy. I thought that thing was like all day. It's 2 hours. So I'm coming home. Just help my mom support. So I'll be MIA live all next week. And then the following week, I got a bunch of stuff in the morning. So I'm only going to be live with the Whiskey Webnot boys next in 2 Wednesdays. That's it. So I'm only having one stream in the next 2 weeks, which is going to be really weird for me. Life happens. So Lawrence is the last one. So y'all drink it in, as they say.
I got two things for you. I got two things for you before you do your things.
Yeah.
So first of all, this is a huge day for me because this is my second time appearing on the Taylor Show.
I
don't know how I pulled it off, but you're a big deal. So me being able to hang out and chat with you, this is cool.
Okay.
And I'm not just like pumping you up. Like, I think you've demonstrated your value consistently enough where you're a rare breed, like valuable for your company, but not hated by engineers. That's rare for a recruiter. That's pretty rare to be both valuable on both sides, almost in an advocate type role. So I appreciate that in you. And that's a rare thing. And I learn from you and watch, because that's how I do mentorship. I don't necessarily have people who I sit down with one-on-ones every third Tuesday. No, I just watch people who are successful and try to glean, what are they doing that's different from other people? Like, you know, the fake plastic plant, whatever it is. And just, you just copy, you emulate, right? And so I appreciate that in you. That's one big thing. And the second thing, oh my gosh, what was the second thing? I forgot. Let's keep moving.
There you go. Sounds good. Well, just interrupt like me if you think about the second thing. Cool. So those you say, hey, please say, hey, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know where you tuned in from. Last week we had folks in South Africa, Spain, UK. So it was really, really cool. Sometimes we get some India, Nigeria. So please let us know where you tuned in from. Even if you're tuned into the south side of Nashville, that is a very far away from me. So we'd love to hear from you. Second off, ask questions. This is going to be mainly Q&A. I have some topics I want to ask Lawrence on, but primarily it's just Q&A. So if you're having problems with interviewing, job searching, and I know it's tough right now, had a really, really vulnerable conversation with David Neal on Wednesday of this week or Tuesday. I would highly recommend checking that episode. Incredibly vulnerable. David really opened up about his struggles over the last year or two. So listen, the job search is terrible for everybody right now. So definitely want to answer any of your questions. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I remember what it was.
What was that?
I never knew why you named your show Guidance Counselor 2.0.
Right, guidance counselors in middle school, high school, and college, but now as adults, we don't really have them.
See there. See there.
Also, the subtext mm-hmm. is I want to kick the guidance counselors in the shin who've been telling everybody to write one-page resumes. I want to be the guidance counselor too. But the first response is the more meaningful, heartfelt one. The second one is just choosing violence. Right. So,
gotcha. Yeah. There's a place for both.
Yeah.
For everything under the sun, there's a time and a place.
Want to give a shout out to my partners this morning. First off, that conference again, Clark Sell and that group. Call for Presenters is open right now. I think it's closing March 1st, I believe. So go check that out. Again, they're the official coffee sponsor of the show. Clark's latest batch of beans are really good. And then, of course, Platinum, Premier, Diamond, Sponsor, whatever you want to call it, Render ATL. Super pumped. For
them. You're going?
Yeah.
I'm going. I don't know how I'm going, but I'm going.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I submitted a CFP thing for a speaker. I haven't heard back yet. So if they close that.
Well, Justin tweeted recently that he just now closed it. So I don't think there's probably going to be a lot of prep around that. So I can't imagine how many responses he got.
But if I don't go that way, another cool thing about Bodin is I can use my personal learning development budget for conferences.
That's great. I think it's great. I love it. I would recommend going.
They want you to grow.
I'd recommend going. Lawrence, do you have any stories for people who may be watching this why they should go to Render?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's kind of like I told my wife, it's like the Grammys of tech.
You get all the tech you want. Deep technical dives, which I heard actually as a complaint at some other conferences in the last year.
No, this is everybody nerds out here.
It's real deal tech all day long. It's all your faves, not just popular people, but people who are making a difference in industry. They're all there. They're accessible. There's no big I's and little U's. You can just walk up and talk to people. And then they party hard all night long. So it's work hard, play harder.
I go to bed.
You old guys. But anyway, it's day after day, hardcore, real deal tech by day and learning and growing and networking and then having a blast of your night, even if it's just a nice dinner.
Absolutely.
Super invaluable. My greatest number of LinkedIn connections, that concentration always happens during Render.
Yeah.
And absolutely. The people you run into, even by accident, unmatched.
Yeah, 100%. Want to get to people tuning in. Kevin, I need a job, man. We'll talk about what to do. I know no one's giving out jobs right now, but we'll do our best to kind of give some feedback. Again, Jason, it's good to see you. Love the Finland fish out of water, 100%. John, Christian, John, the train's amazing, 100%. Ryan, it's good to see you, buddy. Barrett, it's great to see you, former guest of the show. Alex, great to see you too, my guy. Tay, it's good to see you. Valerie, it's good to see you back in the Taylorverse. Ooh, I like that. The Taylorverse. The Tayverse.
Taverse.
I'm trying to think about a cool, fun saying about
VR-like.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, do you know, do you ever see Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce's podcast? They call themselves, like, they call the... They call their community the 92%ers. I don't know exactly why. I'm trying to figure out, like, something to call the community. Like, the 2.0ers? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Work on that one. Work on that. Ask ChatGPT.
Let's talk about that. Chris, it's good to see you. Qualite. I love it. And then, Jason, stoked to meet you at Lawrence, Render Lawrence.
Yes, sir. I will be there one way or another.
All right. So let's start first, man. I mean, right now, you know, we talked about your story last time on the pod. Let's just talk about just some thoughts about the job search, what you're seeing, how people can level up, just kind of some general thoughts until we get some questions. Again, if you have questions, TikTok, I'm streaming on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter. Just ask questions if you got them. But let's go ahead and give some initial thoughts to the job search right now.
One day I'm going to grow up and be a pro streamer like you, man. Seven channels at once, minimum. I'm not even going on.
I send a text every morning, and it's just a lot. I actually forgot to do something. I realized. So, whatever. It's fine. Keep going.
Gotcha. Sure thing. You know, I started doing one-on-one coaching on TopMate last year at Chris Sean's suggestion. After I did the podcast with him, you know, we spoke offline about some things that he's doing, and I should check it out. And the biggest benefit has not been, like, getting rich or anything like that. Like, I don't charge any ridiculous rates. But I have so much data from talking to people all around the country and a few internationally about what they're experiencing at different levels, junior, mid, and senior levels, what they're experiencing on the design side of things, programmer side of things. Like, what is it like? Because we all say, oh, the market's brutal and this, that. Like, we kind of make platitudes, but in real life, things are different. Conditions are different. And it demands that any candidate getting to the job market at whatever level you are, you have to operate in a different way than maybe some of the people you used to watch on YouTube, like me or Chris Sean, and how we got into tech 5 or 6 years ago. Things are different. In fact, I told a young man last night, I'm fairly certain the portfolio that I used to get my first job absolutely would not give me my first job right now.
Why?
It's too competitive. Well, for one thing, you have a flood of entrants into the candidate job pool that normally would be employed. And there's so many that many people are even down leveling. You have senior people taking mid-level roles, mid-level people taking the equivalent of junior roles, tons of full stack people being hired for just front end. So I came in just as a front end person, front end web developer, essentially. Those roles being hired by full stack people. So what I started the year with talking about is this year is anybody getting into the job market at any level, it's about quality and strategy. The quality of your work and the strategy, how you put the numbers in your favor. Right. And so I modified that just recently based on just the conversations this year. I actually wrote it down so I don't mess it up. This year, you have to be as close as you can be top of your game and be able to extend that brand to other people. I'm going to go into that in a minute. Or get a referral. One of the two. Both of those involve your involvement with other people. And so for the engineers who are like I was when I first started learning to code, and it was just heads down, me and my loft, I'm not going out. I'm not, it's just, you know, just locked in. And the introvert in me really liked that too, like, because I can just stay alone like forever. That won't work. You're going to have to figure out one of two ways to leverage people. A, through your network and getting a referral to bump that application up in the stack of 100 to 1,000 applications, right? I posted one the other day, and it was LinkedIn, so you know it's not accurate, but it had like 100 applicants for a job in 4 hours, but the total company only employed like 50 people. Like, there's just a bunch of people applying for everything. So that referral is important. It gets you seen, bump your application up, or get your game, your quality of work, whatever you can produce as great as you can, and be sure you're extending that brand. The idea of building in public is so much more than just, well, I'll take a tutorial and I'll, you know, tweet 100 days of code every day. That's an example. Right. But you have to figure out, how do I get as many people as possible to know, here are the things that I know how to do. Here's the things that I know how to execute on.
Yeah.
And they should be able to compare that to whom they have and who they're looking at and be able to make assessments and, you know, speak on your behalf.
100%. You know, Jason and I were texting this morning about at-bats, right? Mm. I think, you know, one of the things that when I was at my last company and training recruiters, and we, you know, we weren't quite getting through and getting the starts and the offers. I said, honestly, you can't even really control a start and an offer in our industry, because there's so much that comes into play. I said, the only thing you can control really is getting that person an offer, right? Or getting to a final round, right? And so for me, like I was telling Jason, like, it's important as job seekers to get at-bats, because at-bats show that you're heading in the right direction. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm not a baseball guy, but I mean, even some of the Hall of Fame baseball players are, you know, hitting the ball once just every four times they're at the plate.
Yeah. You know, I had a person, I think it was on one of the Hunt Twitter spaces just a couple of weeks ago, and they were distraught. They were totally distraught. They're putting in all these applications. They're not hearing from anyone. They're thinking about just leaving tech altogether. They don't know what they're doing wrong. They went on and on. And we listened, right? We listened. We had that heart for them. We had that empathy for them. So I answered first. I said, can I just ask you a couple of clarifying questions? Can I ask exactly how many applications have you put out and in what time period? And they said, oh, God, I've easily put out 30 in the last 3 months. I said, okay, thank you for that data.
Yeah.
By comparison, I put out 100 before I got my first callback. This is back when things were good. I was over 200 before I got my first actual job in tech. And so put the numbers in your favor means you're going to have to apply. You're going to have to apply a lot. You might have to expand your search to not only the specific role that you're interested in, which there's a value in niching down, but maybe even in some cases, particularly at the junior level, just search for your skills. What do you know how to do? What languages do you have under your control and command? In some cases, companies will have job titles that you don't know about, but they rely on the technologies you know how to do and employ. And so add those kind, non-traditional companies, startups, nonprofits, expand your numbers. That's one of the ways you go to at bat.
John goes, 30 is a slow week for a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a baseball fan, but except my batting average. Yeah, I mean, listen, it sucks. Let me ask you this. So I've been really big on like trying to get into, and Jason and I talk about this too, about trying to get into opportunities that are adjacent to tech, right? So if Oracle has a customer support manager role open or an account manager role or you know, even at Gunn, right? If you always want to be a developer, but you have a sales background, you could arguably come in as account executive, and then you can start learning from our engineering team at Gunn.io.
Absolutely.
I feel like people really got to consider that right now.
Oh, 100%. That's part of strategy. When I talk about quality and strategy, that's one of the strategies to put numbers in your favor. So let's just say, for instance, and this isn't true. I'm just going to say it as an example. Let's say everybody and their mama right now who's a self-taught developer is trying to become a front-end dev. Period. I know the merge tech want to be a front end dev.
There's too many
in that pool.
Right.
Why aren't some of them saying, hey, let me become an Android developer? I promise you, Android is no more difficult to learn than front end with React, Angular, or Vue. I promise you, and there's minimal number of people going in that direction, or iOS, or cross platform, or support engineer. Support engineer is a great way, or QA. QA is a great step to becoming a programmer later.
Yeah.
For every job you can mention, there is an auxiliary job that would be a good next step. I actually did this research live last night. A young lady, I won't name her because she didn't say I can, but she's trying to become a self-taught product manager, but product manager.
Okay.
And she's doing all the things, she's doing the networking, she's a nice person, she has experience customer facing, but it's just not working. While we were on the Twitter space, I did a little experiment on LinkedIn, and I told her about it after I finished. I looked up 10 product managers, and I was just being nosy, just read their entire background, what they did, what their experience was. I found two things in common. A, none of them had a PNP, because that came up in this conversation. The majority of them had a SAFe, Agile, or Scrum certification, and the majority of them, over half, which is like, I think it was 7, all had business analysts as the job they had before becoming a PM. But nobody's like, I want to be a business analyst. But that could be the very thing that puts you in a smaller pool of candidates. You get that. You rock it out for 3 years.
Yeah.
You're right there with the PMs. You know where you're trying to head. You're not trying to be a BA for life. So you're gleaning the success characteristics from the PM who's right in front of you. Then you apply with domain knowledge at the job where you are. Rock that for 3 to 4 years. Now you just write your own ticket.
You know,
as opposed to trying to go from A to Z and missing all these intermediary letters that could lead you there.
Domain knowledge is is important. I don't talk about it a lot, and I used to kind of roll my eyes when managers would tell me they need domain knowledge. But like now that I went to a talent marketplace instead of just a staffing, like I had some ramp up, right? But like even going back to so to answer that, try to get in with the domain knowledge that you need to get. Because sometimes that may be the only thing holding you back. But talking about going into a role and then like changing as you go, like when I went into gun, it was one thing. What I'm doing now is a completely different thing in 7 months. Like, really? Like right? Oh, yeah. I mean, not completely different, but like a lot of my skills are starting to become like tapped in that we didn't even talk about in the interview process. So like, so what I'm saying is like, even me in my career, I'm getting to the point where, I mean, I'm still experiencing, like you start a company and once you solidify yourself and people start leveraging you more for your talents, like your role's going to change. Your role's going to change.
Interesting. Naturally.
So
that's neat. I want to throw out one more that just hit me as I'm reading the chat. Great stuff in the chat here.
Yeah.
This is a role I literally probably out of 20 people that I mentor, maybe one is going for this role. And it can lead to so many beautiful directions in tech. And that is the good old fashioned sysadmin, particularly if you go ahead and get that Red Hat cert, Red Hat Certified System Administrator, RHCSA. You get that cert, get that first job, which is not horribly hard to get because, again, there's not a ton of applicants for it. Rock it well and learn. You can literally go into cloud, network engineering, DevOps, DevSecOps, potentially cyber, maybe if you had like a Sec Plus, and then the RHCSA, rock the job for 3 years, you can go into various cyber. You can go in so many directions just starting as a good old-fashioned sysadmin. They're still hiring them every day. Good ones are great to find. You can be competitive there. It's not just making websites, because a lot of people start like, I want to get into tech, but I don't want to make websites. Websites is not tech. Websites are literally just one tiny little aspect. There are so many other things you can do that are not saturated fields when it comes to the candidate pool, which means it's easier to stand out. You still need to produce quality work. You can't be you can't be bad. Sure. You have to be good. But see, right now in web development particularly, you can be great and still not ever get seen. There's just so many freaking people.
You kinda gotta
the differentiation factor is the key.
I think that's so smart. The sysadmin side's another brilliant type of position, because what I'm noticing is a few things I'm noticing on my end. Backend engineering is hot. I think you and I even talked about that. I think you've seen me tweet about it. Everybody and their mom, and listen, I get it. The money was there. When I started recruiting, when React came out, when React was in vogue, when I was recruiting, everybody wanted React. They were throwing a bunch of money at React developers. You could like spell React and probably still get a job. Those days are gone now, folks. Now, I'm not,
and you know what? I'm going to let you go right back. The boot camps have not responded to that.
I know.
They're all still cranking out 50 billion MERND of devs, and there's just not that many opportunities in that spec, which means they still have to learn something on their own when they finish the camp.
Exactly. Like
but back to you. I'm sorry.
No. I'm glad. No. I mean, this is your show. So, I mean, you're the guest. So, like, you got to learn back end. Like, everybody wants back end right now. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we get a back end role at Gun, like, we're like, and so Python, Java's hot, you know, especially for the data, you know, data, whatever processing. I don't really know how all that shit works, but like data, Python, cloud, but sysadmin. So what I'm getting at is back-end programming. To make you a really good back-end programmer, you have to have knowledge of systems and like how everything works from a systems design perspective.
Yep.
And like
architecture.
Yeah. And I feel like you really can understand that starting out as a sysadmin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On the infrastructure side of things. Yeah. Not the programmatic side so much, but on the infrastructure side.
Great advice. I need to remind myself to work. It's not a shameful failure. Yeah. Not at all. It's,
not only is it not a shame, it's a strategy.
Yeah. It's a strategy.
See, we always say think chess, not checkers. Sometimes you might lose a piece because you can see two moves down the road. I'm winning the whole game.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing wrong with taking a brief step down, left, right. If you can see, hey, but this step will lead to other things. I tell people all the time, my first job in tech, I took a drop in salary. Mm-hmm. That wasn't cool. Like in the household, right? I'm not a single man. There's wife, there's kids, there's concerns, there's mortgages. Like, why are you going down? I thought this was supposed to be the level up, but I had to make that first step.
Have to.
Two steps later, I can't even tell you, more than double where I was.
Right.
You gotta figure out what is my strategy. Like, it's not just apply and hope. What is my strategy? That is one strategy. There are many. If you don't have one, Rizal's in the house. Shout out Rizal's to Dev Rail showing up.
Look, girl.
It's a strategy. That's it.
Yep, 100%. Man, what else? What else is on your mind? This is good. Anybody have any questions? Throw it up in the chat. What else is out there we can talk about? Anything else?
I definitely want to share my company. Hey, if I have 2 minutes and I'm a dev rel, can I shoot my company?
Go ahead.
So, and the cool thing is this. So, Vonin, we are a amazing startup-sized company that stayed lean and mean for 20-plus years. We are built for Java developers. So if you are like a Python guy or like, not let's say an individual, but your company is focused on Python or some other stack, we're probably not the best solution for you. However, if you have Java backends, you definitely want to give Vonin a look. Vonin is a platform and we make web development solutions, full stack web development solutions for Java shops specifically. We're very narrow in our focus of our customer base. Our two main frameworks are called Flow and Hilla. Both of them are open source. You can look up Vonin and Flow or Vonin Hilla right now. You can go to the Get Started Guide, clone the repo. You can get started making stuff right now. Interestingly, so Java is always said, like, don't start with Java if you're beginning self-taught developer because you don't get enough visual representation, right? Start with HTML so you can see it. Cool thing about Vonin Flow in particular, with a rudimentary knowledge of Java, like the equivalent of less than a freshman course in college, you can come over to Flow and have full stack application just writing one language, literally no JavaScript. So think like Swing, but with support, or think GWT, but the company's actually supporting it still and still has new advancements that are really amazing.
Yeah.
If that's your goal, you get the visual aspect.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way in the world I would ever program in full stack Java. We actually have React on the front end. No problem. That's where Hilla comes into play. Hilla is a framework that we have that combines a TypeScript front end that can be built out in React with a Spring Boot backend in a single project. A lot of cool stuff speaking of backend going on in the backend to facilitate routing, security, to facilitate backend calls with TypeScript functions. It's a really, really neat thing to check out. It's something where if you have a very small team and they pretty much just know Java, they can ramp up very quickly with Hilla and have full stack web applications that are fast, that are performant. And again, we, on top of those two things, we also have a variety of web components that can be used in any scenario. So I just want people to check that out. I'm a dev rel for them, so I'm literally paid to talk about it. I say that up front, so there's nothing weird. However, you can try all this stuff for free. It's open source. And those who are needing to make contributions, if you're learning Java, check out our repos. There are already open issues there that you might be able to address. Always, of course, clone things down and see how it works first. Read the conversation, read through the issues and the discussions, see how we flow. But we would love to have you there contributing in an open source way. We have a Discord group that will be going to Discourse soon as well. You can just ask like all kinds of questions there, like, hey, I want to help here, but I don't know how to do this. There will be people there, all four of the dev rels, including our VP, are in and out of our Discord channel all the time.
That's awesome.
So we'd love to have you. Even by being here is part of strategy. I'm not sure if I ever said that. What happened?
No. Keep going. I'm just giving you thumbs up.
My bad. I thought he was like, stop.
No.
What are you saying? But we were talking about strategy earlier, and just my being here was part of strategy because before I got here, I actually had tried to get 3 other DevRel roles at other companies, and none of them worked out for a variety of reasons. Won't belabor the show with that. Maybe that's another show. But this one was the one where I was able to parlay A, the content creation that I've done, B, the recent conference talks that I'd done. I did Render and Microsoft Build both last year, and then pair that with 4 years in a Java and Spring Boot environment at FedEx and put that together and say, here's my package, here's my brand. I'm a teacher, I'm a community guy, I'm a person who already advocates for developers in terms of their own personal growth. I teach, I've done TA work with a boot camp. This is who I am. Now, where can I find a place that focuses on the Java that I know and need somebody to do that? There were literally 2, Oracle in here, but Oracle didn't have any openings at the time. They did. I got it. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. So that's positioning myself to be the best candidate that they've seen. And I think everybody can do that if you think hard enough about it. And it might be, as we said earlier, a non-traditional role.
100%. 100%. Brian comes here. What type of projects do you recommend for web developers on the resume? Are you talking about getting started? Maybe getting started.
If it's getting started, great question. 2 factors only. 1, The summation of your projects should show your personal level of technical depth. That is important. I advocate from a strategic perspective, don't make all three the same thing. So if all three are static websites or all three are the same type of mobile app, I don't get that feeling of growth or like I've seen something new. So, and this is what I did in my case, I think it still works. If you had one static website, one where you consumed or wrote your own API, consumed everything from API or wrote an API, and one that's full stack. I don't care what type of developer you call yourself. If it's going to be in the web, you have to have at least one full stack project with persistent data on the back end. Some kind of little back end logic query in the database, SQL, whatever. That is important. That three is a nice mix in terms of tech stack. So that's quality number one to your question. Quality number two is it should, at least one of them should be personal. When I see clones, I get like this dropping feeling in my chest, or calculators or calendars or to-do lists. I get this heavy feeling in my chest because I know you haven't thought about it that much. And it's like, if I was an employer looking at that, which I'm not employing anybody, but if I was an employer looking at that, I'm like, what care will you put into your work that you do for us if you don't go harder for yourself? How would I think you're going to go harder for the company than you go for yourself? You have to go hard for yourself. It's kind of like the question everybody claims they hate. I hate when they ask, tell me about yourself. I'm like, why do you hate that question? That's the one time in the entire interview that you're guaranteed you know what the question is in advance, which means you can prepare.
Yeah.
And you're literally being asked to brag on yourself, to put yourself in the best possible light. If all the rest of the interview goes crap, that's got to be the one question you nail because you get to make you look good. The same thing is true for your personal projects, for your portfolio. It should be something personal, something you've thought about. It doesn't have to be rocket science or like a new display for the new Tesla coming out. It can be, my wife and I are always buying the same groceries because we don't check each other. I made a little rinky-dink mobile responsive app where we just track our groceries. And when she buys something, she checks it off. Or if I buy something, I check it off. Or if you're the last one to use something in the cabinet or the fridge, you can mark, hey, this is gone. I made a little mobile app. I love the one that James made a few years ago. His wife was a soccer coach. She needed to balance out the time to make sure all the kids had the same playing time. She's trying to write it down and coach and all that. He made her a little app. Like, just look around your life. Don't look for code. You're not going to find code. Look something that code can make better.
I love that.
Like, I have 50 gazillion hardcover books. I want to start giving them away, but I want to be able to track it somehow. Make an app for it. Just make an app for anything in your life. So you have something that doesn't look like everybody else's project that they got from the last Udemy course or the last boot camp. Yeah. You have something that you can talk passionately about because it means something to you. Last one I give you as an example that I absolutely love. One of my favorite boot camp students back when we taught the cohort out of Northwest Arkansas, Bentonville, where Walmart is, young man was into botany. For whatever reason, he was into botany. He loved trees and flowers. And he was not satisfied with the state's indexing of their trees. Like if you went camping and saw some tree, he wasn't satisfied with the pictures, the descriptions. So he just made his own. Just a list of trees, but you could access it. It all had a picture. You can compare the picture. So if you're out in the woods, you're like, oh, I haven't seen this before. Oh, that's poisonous. Stand back. Whatever. He made an app of trees. And when he talked about it, he just lit up and glowed, and you could tell he loved the process of creating. If you're showing me as an interviewer that you love the process of creating, it's believable for me that you might love creating here as well. But if you're just humdrum about it, right? There's no energy, there's no passion, there's no enthusiasm. The apps mean nothing to you at all. It's a hard sell for me to believe you're going to get all pumped up about. Because we want you to be pumped up. We want you to be a company man or a company woman when we hire you. So show me, just like Jay-Z said, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. Show me that you're serious about your business for you. And we may believe that you'll be serious about that business for us.
I love it. I love it. Man, I love talking to you. Anything else? Any last word? I'm gonna hit you with four questions.
Are we at the end? Is that it?
That I asked you last time, but I forgot what they were. How you answered them. So they'll be new for me.
I'll make up new stuff.
Yeah. any last words of wisdom for folks watching right now?
Yes, people are going to make the difference in your journey. No matter how much you like avoiding them, people are going to make the difference in your journey.
Yep.
Even years ago, when I was, again, locked away in my loft, coding away free code camp, Udacity, Udemy, Solo Learn, everything. The thing that made the difference is when I got out of my loft, went to a local meetup group, met James Quick and a few other people who took me in and said, hey, let me look at the portfolio. Hey, let me look at that resume. Matter of fact, James' wife actually redid my resume for free. Shout out to her. And they took me in and then connected me with job opportunities and then the next job opportunity. And so the only job I've gotten out of my three tech jobs that was not from networking is my most recent one. That was like all me. The other two, plus a few interviews, are all through networking, the people I connect with.
Yeah.
Get out of your head. Even if you're an introvert, then take people in small chunks. Introvert doesn't mean I can't talk to people. It means you need people in like chunks.
Yeah, yeah.
So do it in chunks.
Yeah.
Meet one or two, cut it off. If you go to the conference, do the session, cut it off. Back and forth. I even do that. I'll run to the hotel in a minute in the conference because I need to come down. Yeah. All right, then I'll go back out and I can take y'all again.
Love it. I love it. All right, last four questions again. Thanks, y'all, for hanging out with us today on this wonderful Friday. Guidance Counselor 2.0 with Lawrence Lockhart. Obviously, Lawrence's at handle is in his name bio, so go follow him. Lawrence, last four questions. If money was not the issue and you could do anything outside of tech, what would you do?
I'd open up a bookstore focused on African and African-American history and just drink coffee and talk to people who came through all day.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. That'd be cool. I don't read, but
The old gray beard guy in the back. There's
romanticism around like opening up bookstores and coffee shops. I think in our generation, like I think we're just tired of the grind, and we just want to like.
I have a heart-fed, ethereal, almost feeling with physical books,
really?
Paper. I like the smell of paper, especially if I get like an obscure book from India because their paper smells differently.
Oh, really? There you go.
It does.
That's cool.
When I was getting my supply chain certification in Apex, I got a book that was from there, and I opened it up. It's like, ooh.
Smell of saffron. That's
different. Just something.
Yeah, something. what do you – okay. I know you love your family. So I have to preface this. Like any dude or gal I speak to has a family. Like outside of your family, I know you love your family, love yourself. Outside of your family, what do you like to do outside of tech that brings you joy?
Outside of tech, let's see. These days, I've been gaming on my Quest 2. I love that thing.
The Quest. That's the thing, right?
Yeah. I love that thing. I do work on it. I play games on it. I just bought a table tennis game. And it's so awesome because I put it in pass-through mode, like XR mode or AR, not VR mode. And so I see the table literally floating in here. And then the other person, I can see them standing over there. And we just play all day and night. Like I could do that forever. But beyond that, you said not family, but I promise you, cooking for family is therapeutic for me.
You cook a lot. Your vlog.
I hate to cook for myself. I hate it because there's no feedback. But when I throw down and I give them that, and they eat it and I hear, or they finish it and they just go. That brings me the most joy out of all things in the world, is seeing a happily fed family.
Yep, absolutely. And then third question is any tech you're tinkering with right now?
Bought it 100% bought it because particularly next week I'll be in Dallas on Wednesday, whatever the 22nd is, and I'll be speaking at a meetup that Danny, Mr. Meetup, put together. He put together a Java night, so I'll be flying into Dallas. So all things bought it, everything about
it. I love that. I love that. If I wasn't home, hell, I'd hop on a quick flight.
It's gonna be fun. He made it like a mini conference. There's like four or five speakers at night. It's just a whole Java night.
That's awesome.
Just back to back to back to back. And I'm the conclusion.
Danny moving to Dallas from Memphis is like LeBron going from like Cleveland to LA. I feel
you're a Memphis guy, which he is, actually is. I think he was actually in New York before here, but I equate him as a Memphis guy because we have some good times in person.
Yeah.
I think one of the last things we did, he invited us to a suite at the Grizzlies game, man. We're up there on his company dime just drinking and eating and having a good time in the NBA.
I love that. Grizz has got a Gamecock guy. He's balling out right now. Our guy, GG Jackson.
Yeah, we just need more of that.
GG Jackson balling out.
Go ahead.
Last question. We had guidance counselors in middle school, high school, and college, but now as adults, we don't really have them. What would be your biggest piece of career advice to young Lawrence?
Oh, man. Keep your head on straight. So that's for the young Lawrence. You didn't say young anybody else. Keep your head on straight because I'm one of those. You know how we joke about people who peaked in high school? Well, I was one of them. Like, I was like this. And after high school, it was like this for 30 years. So part of the Cinderella story of me is that I've been like down for a very long time just because I lost my head, man. Just going, keep your head on straight. Go hard while you're young, single, and childless on the things that are important for you. Make money. Make a freaking all the money you can get anybody to give you. Make it while you're young and energetic. You're not going to get more energy when you get older. You're not going to get smarter when you get older in terms of your processing ability. You'll be aware of more things through exposure, but none of those things is going to get better older. Yeah. Get it while you're young. Forgo whatever. There's so much fun to be had when you have a ton of money and no responsibilities later, or minimal responsibilities. Right now, get your head straight. Get money at all costs.
I love that. I love that. Yep. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for hanging with us this morning. We appreciate it. Lawrence, you the man. Appreciate you, big dog. That was a blast.
Thank you for the second invite. It went so fast, as always.
I know. It goes so fast. Stay on so I can say bye to you backstage. Y'all have a good one again. No stream next week. One stream the following week with the Whiskey Web and Whatnot Boys, and that would be Wednesday the 28th would be the next time I'm streaming. So y'all have a good one. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye.
Peace. Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store. I want this to be discoverable to others. And the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me at TDestin on all social media handles, and I hope you have a fantastic day.